It's September 22nd, 2020, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. Filling in for John Lothian, this is Patrick Lothian. And now a note from John Lothian. The price of my home jumped 19.2% in the last 30 days, according to Zillow. The demand for housing in my price range is jumping due to the lack of available supply, real estate professionals have said. My home is not for sale yet, and the Wall Street Journal reports household net worth has hit an all-time high, so this makes sense. Acuity is running an independent LIBOR transitional survey, polling the market for readiness. You can click in the article to start the survey. COVID-19 is now the fourth largest mass casualty event in U.S. history, topped only by the Civil War, World War II, and the 1918 flu pandemic. On Monday, September 21st, 2020, the NYSE observed a one-minute moment of silence at 9:20 a.m. Eastern Time in honor of Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. From October 1st, 2020, Curve Global Markets will extend the existing principal trading program to enable principal traders to receive a monthly cash award, subject to certain conditions. The monthly cash award will be available September 2021. To join the program, qualifying firms must sign the principal trading agreement, which is available in the Curve Mobile Markets document library. Numeric CEO Stephen O'Hanlon, in partnership with FinTech Circle CEO Suzanne Chishchi, has published FinTech for Dummies. Last week, we mentioned some promotions at ErisX. We excluded one by mistake. Matt Trudeau was promoted to Chief Operating Officer. Congratulations, Matt. Bad news for cheap steak eaters. A fast casual steakhouse, Sizzler, has declared bankruptcy. If you are in the CBOT building and want a free coffee and donut, stop by the Big Shoulders anytime today and tomorrow for your complimentary fall treat. Make sure you mention it's on the Glenstar Connection tab. Where? Big Shoulders Coffee. When? Tuesday, 9:22 and Wednesday, 9:23, between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the way you would like to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice, from John Lothian. And now a note from Tom Thompson. Update on the USA v. Vorley and Chenu. Monday was the fifth day of witnesses called by the prosecution in the 10-year-old spoofing case that in fact predates the statutory use for the term spoofing. The government's uninspired case hit a couple of rough patches. The defense attorneys got the witnesses, one each, from Quant Lab and Citadel to agree that several of the graphs of the government's cherry-picking spoof-proving episodes omitted trades with witnesses' firms executed with Deutsche Bank during the seconds-long episodes. These witnesses were supposed to be talking about the damages they suffered. In fact, neither witness provided an estimate of how much their firms lost to Deutsche Bank spoofers. Neither witness had any memory of the episodes in question. The last witness of the day, Special Agent Jonathan Luca from the FBI, also failed to convince with his reading of the chat transcript that did not point to any smoking gun of spoofing. From Tom Thompson. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. On Friday, Vela won the Inside Market Data Award for the Best Low Latency Data Technology Provider at a virtual award ceremony hosted by Waters Technology. This category honors the trading technology firm that delivers trading advantages through the provision, facilitation, and transportation of low-latency market data. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. CBOE Global Markets on Monday began offering options on the S&P 500 ESG Index, a benchmark constructed by S&P Dow Jones Indices using proprietary environmental, social, and governance scores, while offering a risk-return profile similar to the S&P 500. The ESG index includes tobacco, controversial weapons, as well as companies with low ESG scores versus industry peers, the exchange said. The S&P 500 ESG index has a total return of 12.8% in the past year, outperforming the S&P 500 by nearly 2.4%. Find out more information on the options in the article. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. The FIA is hosting the FIA Legal Opinions Primer webinar on Tuesday, October 13, from 1400 p.m. to 1500 p.m. BST, in which experts from Clifford Chance LLP and FIA will explain the types of legal opinions that FIA maintains, their structures, and the purposes in the context of regulatory capital requirements. This webinar will focus on the FIA legal opinions procured out of Europe and will not cover the U.S. FCM netting opinions. You can see the article below for more information. Now some articles from our first read section. From FINRA, new research, Two FINRA Foundation studies explore links among financial knowledge, cognitive health, and financial decision-making in older Americans. The FINRA Investor Education Foundation, in collaboration with research from Rush University Medical Center, releases two studies today examining links among financial and health knowledge, cognitive health, and financial and health decisions making among older persons. The research, released in recognition of World Alzheimer's Day, demonstrates the importance of maintaining financial and health literacy as people age. A note from John Lothian, an important subject for those of us getting older and with older parents. From Peter Grant of the Wall Street Journal, Grand Chicago Hotel in foreclosure, a symbol of COVID-19's toll on the hospitality industry. Thor Equities, owner of the Palmer House Hilton, is in default on its $333.2 million first mortgage, court papers say. The Palmer House Hilton has been one of Chicago's grandest hotels for more than a century. Charles Dickens and Oscar Wilde were guests. Frank Sinatra serenaded diners at its supper club. Over the past 15 years, the owner spent $173 million to overhaul the hotel, modernizing most of the 1,641 rooms, but today the property faces a bank foreclosure and has become one of the most potent symbols of the troubled hospitality industry during COVID-19. Note from John Lothian, it was rebuilt after the Great Chicago Fire. Can it be reborn yet again? From FINRA, working on the front lines of investor protection, red flags to detect excessive trading. Laura is a single mother who earns less than $40,000 per year. In 2016, Laura, who held little investing experience, decided to invest in the stock market. She met with a broker and, with his suggestion, opened a brokerage account and deposited approximately $13,500, which constituted almost all of her savings. Less than a year later, Laura's account had lost more than $9,000, yet Laura's broker had made more than $11,000 in commissions. How did this happen? Laura was a victim of excessive trading by her broker. A note from John Lothian, watch your commissions to equity ratio. Oops, that doesn't even work anymore. Janet Lauren, Emma Court, and Kashia Kluki from Bloomberg. Colleges become reservoirs of COVID ready to spill over. Schools struggle to contain virus before Thanksgiving break. It has been a debacle, a national catastrophe, experts say. College administrators and government officials summoned students back to campus. Now they are presiding over viral reservoirs poised to release a flood of infected undergraduates at Thanksgiving, if they make it that far. A note from John Lothian, as predicted and not happy about it. Thornton McEnery from the New York Post. Hedge fund Bridgewater set up 10 offices in Woods to beat COVID-19. Falling stocks, falling trees. It's all part of the day's work at Bridgewater. Ray Diallo's $138 billion hedge fund has set up tents in the woods across from its Westport, Connecticut headquarters so that its traders and other staff can continue to work from their desks during the coronavirus pandemic, according to a new report. Note from John Lothian, sounds like Bridgewater could use a good scoutmaster. I'm available at the right price. Andrew Edgecliff Johnson from FT. Zoom heralds Digital Judgment Day for religion. COVID means empty houses of worship, online services, and little income. The Book of Leviticus used to be every rabbi's nightmare, Joshua Shanton remarks as he tries to find a bright side to a year in which he has conducted too many funeral services from his bedroom. Teaching biblical passages and leprosy has been a challenge in the 21st century, but now all of a sudden it resonates different. A note from John Lothian. This pandemic is having a great impact on houses of worship, but the buildings are not the church, temple, or synagogue. The people are. Josephine Harvey from HuffPost. Senator Kelly Loeffler roasted for ad saying she's more conservative than Attila the Hun. Senator Kelly Loeffler, Republican of Georgia, left critics baffled on Monday with a new ad that claims she's more conservative than Attila the Hun, a brutal 5th century warlord. The spot begins with a man and a woman seated on the couch watching television. The woman asks, "Did you know Kelly Loeffler was ranked the most conservative senator in America?" A note from John Lothian. How did an industry miss how conservative Kelly Loeffler is? I surely did not detect this conservatism while she was working at ICE. I have heard others are asking the same question. And now the Monday's top three. Our top story Monday was the worst coronavirus outbreaks are happening in these 15 cities, about the rise of new cases in college towns from BGR. Second was a paid program from TD Ameritrade and CME Group about futures trading called A Taste of the Futures. Third was why CBOT is seeking growth abroad from Crane's Chicago Business. Here are the Markets Wiki stats. 188,511,611 pages viewed, and there are currently 24,432 pages and 226,070 edits on Markets Wiki. This has been Patrick Lothian. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.